Thank you, Greg. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday morning. Our show brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Smoother than smooth. Dan Walken, USA Today. Always enjoy our chats with him. It's been a while since we've caught up with him, and it is time to do so right now. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I said in the last segment that typically I'm not win the press conference guy. You don't have to win the press conference. It's what happens after that. But then in the same breath, I said, but, you know, it is time for Tennessee to win a press conference. I mean, Monday we thought was embarrassing. Jeremy Pruitt, more times than not, when he grabbed a microphone, was embarrassing. Butch Jones became embarrassing. Do you agree it's just time for somebody to grab a microphone in Knoxville and everybody go, okay, all right, this guy, you know, this person sounds like, you know, they're in control and they know what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, I get what you're saying, and I think there's value in that. But, look, this is about competence, and I don't think you can really convey competence based on, you know, these sort of anodyne questions and answers that you typically get at a press conference like this in a setting like this. Like, he'll get everybody excited and talk about how great Tennessee is and all the possibilities he thinks are there. But this is all about competence. And, you know, I think with Danny White, like, you have a track record of competence. And, you know, we'll see, like, how he handles the various challenges that he's going to have at Tennessee, and there's certainly a lot of them. But I just think that you've made a hire here where there's a track record. You've made a hire that people, you know, in college athletics know who he is and what he's about. And I just think that, you know, that's ultimately what's going to turn this thing around is competence. But I certainly understand what you're saying. You know, and I think Danny is smart enough and eloquent enough to get up there at a press conference today and hit all the right notes.
I'll admit, Dan, I didn't think it's been such a dysfunctional family for more than a decade. I didn't think Tennessee was capable of a hire like this, where when I say a hire like this, universally, when it happened yesterday, everybody was like, wow, okay, really, really good hire. I didn't think they were capable of that. Why does Danny White, and like you said, the pedigrees, the bloodlines and the family, this guy is only 41 years old, and he's already accomplished a lot in a short amount of time. Why is he the right guy, in your opinion?
Well, look, even though he came from a family that has kind of blanketed college athletics, and I'm sure you guys have talked about, you know, his father's the athletic director at Duke, has been around forever. His brother's the coach at Florida in basketball. He's got another brother who's the athletic director at Florida Atlantic. So, like, he's been around it, but it's kind of their family business. But he had to go prove it on his own, you know, and he certainly started out, took you know, jobs at smaller places, got his first athletic director job at Buffalo, which is a difficult place, with not a lot of resources, and turned around their fundraising operation and hired a good football coach and hired some good basketball coaches and got them in the mix to go to the tournament. Goes to UCF, and, you know, I think I was not as impressed with this second hire of Josh Heupel, but certainly Scott Frost came in and turned it around fast. And Danny thinks outside the box. He's going to be aggressive in fundraising. He's going to come in and immediately be able to identify what he likes and what he doesn't and what's necessary. So he's just a very professional guy who understands what this is all about.
In your opinion, I know this is tough to answer, but you just kind of laid out his mindset in different situations, tougher jobs, right? Buffalo and UCF. Now you're in the SEC, a little bit easier sell. You've got all this money, or at least you think you do. How do you think he's going to try to tackle getting the next guy right? How do you think he'll go about it, in your opinion?
One thing about Danny White is he thinks outside the box about these coaching hires, you know, and everyone's going to put out a list of six names or eight names. I would guarantee you that Danny White's list will be different than most of the lists that are out there. I remember when UCF hired Josh Heupel, literally until the moment that name was announced, nobody in the business thought Josh Heupel was a candidate for that job. So he's going to look at things a little bit differently and find some coaches, and I'm not saying guys he'll ultimately hire, but people he'll certainly talk to, who maybe are not on the radar in the same way that some of the bigger names are that have been out there. Like, I don't think that Tennessee can get Luke Fickell. I don't think you can get Matt Campbell. So once you sort of get out of that tier, I think it's kind of wide open. And there's probably going to be some names in the mix that we all know, and I think there's probably going to be some who none of us are thinking of. And I certainly hope and expect that Tennessee and the administration there is giving him full authority to make this hire and to own this hire.
Dan Wolkin is with us, USA Today, talking Tennessee. And so, Dan, do you think that, and just your opinion on this, do you think that the better plan would be go with the up-and-comer or the, you know, younger, however you want to phrase it, or go find the established Power 5 guy that, and there are a couple out there that have done it before. Do you lean either way on that?
No, not really. You know, I think there's always an excitement about somebody who is well-known. You know, I think Tennessee fans, like if they announced tomorrow that they were hiring Gus Malzahn, just as an example, I think Tennessee fans would probably be pretty excited by that because it's somebody they know, it's somebody they're familiar with. On the other hand, I think you could look at his tenure at Auburn and say, you know, are we kind of damning ourselves to a ceiling? Because Gus certainly has good qualities, but there were also some things at Auburn that frustrated people. And so I think you can go either way on it. I just think that the main thing is that you've got a new AD. This is going to be his hire, and he's got to be backed up, whoever he chooses. You know, if it's a name that people initially don't like, you can't let the fan base or radio hosts or anyone, you know, bully him out of this. You've got to back him up, even if it's somebody who, you know, people hear the name and go, who? That might happen here. And I'm not saying one's better than the other, because ultimately it's all about finding somebody who's equipped to do the job, and Tennessee's a pretty complicated job.
I said before you came on, and I know you look at the press conference earlier in the week and you go, how could they possibly have pulled this off as quickly as they did? But it, at least behind the scenes after the announcement yesterday, felt like they had a plan. And they executed that plan. And it's the first time in a very long time that I have felt that Tennessee had a plan together behind the scenes and actually pulled it off. Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, I would venture to say that they did not, after that press conference Monday, pick up the phone and start calling athletic directors and saying, are you interested in this job? I think they knew very well who they could possibly get and what it would take to get them, and that they had been working on executing this plan for several weeks, and that's certainly a good indicator from the chancellor, who is relatively new to this at Tennessee, that they're serious about trying to fix the problem, that they know what they're doing, that they've got, you know, all the pieces in place, from the money to the search committee to all that stuff, to now go out and go hire a football coach. And you know, the problem with coaching searches is you don't always get who you want, or you may go into it with some preconceived notions about who's going to be interested, and then once you get into the process, that's all turns out to maybe be a little bit misleading, and you know, there are guys who use interest to get raises and all that stuff, and you know that going in. But you know, certainly I think because you've hired a good athletic director who's done this before and who's had success before, there's going to be a floor to this coaching search that's actually going to be pretty appealing, I think, for Tennessee fans.
We know that recruits have pulled out. You have players entering the transfer portal. And, you know, players typically nowadays, they go and they play for coaches, whether the head coach or assistant coach. It's not necessarily going for their love of the school. Sometimes it is. But now that they have the AD, they know they got to go through the process. Do you think that stability maybe will sway some of these recruits or players on the roster to stay, or at least give them a little time to hold out to see who the next guy is going to be? Has he bought them some time there?
It's hard to say. I think typically with most players, once they have it in their mind that they're gone, they're gone. You know, every now and then a guy will come back or reconsider. Tennessee, I would say most of those players, maybe not all of them, are probably pretty attractive to other schools to take as transfers. So, you know, in that week of silence, they're going to be heavily recruited by these other schools once their name hits the transfer portal, and maybe even before then, but that's a whole other story. But I do think a lot of them will probably be gone. Of course, you don't know who the coach is, what kind of system they're going to run and all that. Maybe some do come back, but I think you have to go into this with the mentality that you're kind of starting over.
How bad do you think it's going to be sanctions-wise? I know they threw out level one, level two, but what do you think's around the corner for Tennessee football when it comes to that?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a guess on my part, but I actually don't think it's going to be that bad. And I could be wrong, but I think some of what has been verbalized about the Tennessee situation was maybe a little bit overwrought because they were trying to, you know, use it as a predicate to clean house.
Sure.
I am certain they did find violations, and I'm certain that when you fire nine people related to those violations, that there's probably some stuff in there that is disturbing from an NCAA standpoint. At the same time, they've clearly been aggressive in trying to address it and turning themselves in, investigating themselves, and that's typically the kind of thing that the NCAA will look favorably on. So I don't know that it's going to be that devastating, but okay. I you know, until I see actually, you know, what the allegations are, it's hard to say.
Yeah. All right. Last thing, what did you make of the Clark Lee hire at Vanderbilt? And when you look at kind of the pool of candidates he's trying to lure onto his staff, he is talking to a lot of NFL people, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that search ended up kind of in the place that seemed obvious at the beginning, just given his station in the business and his ties to the university and to the city. Look, I certainly think from Vanderbilt's perspective, it wasn't some slam dunk that Clark Lee was like going to want that job. He had a pretty good job, defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, a job that could have launched him to potentially a more attractive Power 5 job. So I tend to believe him when he thinks that he can get, or that he has the commitment to improve the infrastructure there, that he can get done what needs to be done from a personnel standpoint and in recruiting. So that's all good. I think he's made solid hires. I think he's off to a nice start, but like any first-time head coach, we'll see.
Yeah, no doubt. Dan, always appreciate the visits. Thanks for doing this. Continue to be safe. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Dan Walken, USA Today. By the way, three coaching changes in the SEC East this offseason with Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. We'll come back more on the other side. Trent Dilfer and the Tennessee Press Conference in the second hour of the program with the holiday season behind us. The sports calendar is still in full swing, and this week is no different. From collegiate to professional sports, there's no shortage of action. There's no better place to get in on all that action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't tried it, DraftKings Sportsbook, then what are you waiting for? Jump in there. Celebrate the football playoffs. They're going to give all new players to DraftKings a chance to get 100-1 odds. Yep, that's all you have to do is bet $1 of your own money on any football game this weekend. And if your team wins, you cash $100. While they're excited about the football playoffs, don't forget the basketball season has tipped off as well. You can also check in on daily odds boost as well. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME. When you sign up, you'll get 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. Once again, that code 1025GAME for all new players for a shot to win $100 on any football action this Sunday. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions do apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.